So on this beautiful 10th of April, welcome everyone. And I'm so glad that you're here to discover what love has in store for you today. And I think that when we look at life as a discovery of our relationship to love, life becomes much more exciting. And life expands in its definition of who we are and what's possible for us. And so we're going to continue our theme of restoration that we began last week with the thought that essentially restoration back to your own basic perfection is all any one of us really needs. That's it. Because our own perfection contains the template of how to approach each day with innocent perception, each day with positive expectation, and to see opportunities that we otherwise would have missed, and to be refreshed in our relationship with others. Personal restoration is like having just a huge good night's sleep, or the kind of refreshed feeling we have after we've had a very loving, nourishing meal with our family and our friends when only joy came to the table. We were able to laugh and rejoice and just be there with those who loved us, and we walked away not just nourished by food, but nourished by love and totally refreshed. And so we've all experienced these moments of refreshment in life. And spiritual restoration is very similar. It simply touches us on a deeper level that's more difficult for us to define and often requires a little bit of openness to discover. So that's why I want to talk about this in more depth today. Before I do, though, I have a brief announcement, which is a gift for all of you, and that is our new website, ChristBlessing.org. I hope that you followed the links on your mailer and you've been able to check it out and see what some of the opportunities are there for you. For those of you who are blessing receivers, there are several things that really will improve your experience. One is all you have to do, just look at the top menu bar and you'll see across the top of the page a few key selections such as home and Christ Blessing Calls and Archived Blessings. Well, the Christ Blessing Call is a very important page for you to go to because that will contain the announcement every week for when our blessing call will be. And if you wanted to send somebody a link to join up or just to come in on the call, send them a link to this page because it will have the conference call number on it, it'll have the time, and it'll have the theme. If you scroll down just a little bit further on the page, you'll see that the last two or three blessing calls will be there ready for you just to click on it and listen. You don't have to log in or go to YouTube or go through any other hoops or hurdles. Just click on them and listen. So if you were particularly inspired by any one of our messages recently, you just go to this page, listen to the previous calls. And if you want to go back to listen to any of the older calls, they're all archived. Just go back to the menu bar and click on Archived Blessings. And that will bring up a page that takes you to our Archived Blessings. So you can listen to all of them. Go back and you refresh your memory on maybe there was something 4 months ago that I said that you knew you wanted to remember, but you weren't quite ready to digest it yet. You can find it all right there. But the Christ Blessing Call page is a great page to make your hub. Just bookmark that page, I would suggest. And let it be the page you send out to other people, because it's also got a real easy block on that page where it says sign up to receive blessing call notifications. So if your friends or family want to receive their own notifications, they can sign up right there. And it's also got a block right there for blessing givers. Those of you who are on the call who are blessing givers, click on that, sign up, and that's got your private blog where you and the other blessing members can share your pictures, your information, what you're up to, what you're doing, and ideas about how we can work together to create a stronger, coherent pattern of blessings. And also, right there in the right menu block is a big Facebook symbol, and it says, click here to join our Christ Blessing Facebook group. That's where blessing receivers can join up with other people around the world who are receiving blessings. And just maybe they just want to share a poem. This is your Christ Blessing Facebook page. If you want to share music, you can share music. If you want to share a poem, if you want to share a testimonial, or if you want to ask questions. Also, I will be posting every week on Facebook some inspirational messages, and I'll also post on Facebook when our blessing call will be, so that people who aren't signed up come across this and say, you know, I think I'd like to receive a blessing. So we're really reaching out. We're doing a lot of broadcasting of Yeshua's loving blessings to the whole world, where anybody who wants to connect around the world can listen and come here. So for people who are in Japan, let's say, they've been through this horrible crisis, they can go to our Facebook, they can come to our blessing site, and they can listen to the blessing call and the inspiration, and they can connect with other blessing givers who are perhaps offering a blessing at a better time for them to receive. And an interesting thing, I want you to communicate to your friends and family, and that is that if they're in some place of the world or some other time zone where it's not convenient to call in or too expensive to call in to actually be on the call, if you will tell them when the call is going to be, and knowing that the actual conveyance of blessing occurs at the 30-minute mark, lasts for about 5 minutes, and then about 7 to 10 minutes of assimilation. You see, they don't have to be on the call because Yeshua knows where they are. All they have to do is go into prayer, receive his blessing. His love is omnipresent. And so they can connect through the blessing without having to be on the call. This is the way we can extend this out to the world. So I'm counting on all of you to explain to those who need this, people who are in the hospital, people in crisis situations, people who can't join on the call, either because of long-distance cost or time zones that just don't work for them. Everyone can be on this blessing. It is preferable, though, to be on the blessing at live at this time, because even though Yeshua is not in a field of time and space, we are. We do live in a field of time and space, and the matrix of time and space is a portal through which these blessings are poured, and it really is important, if possible, to show up and be here in the time zone. So I'm counting on all of you to explain this to your friends and family who can't be here. Now, for today, I have a very, very important and joyful message for you about love and how love really works in the larger definition of our life. And so I'm really not planning on having an open community of conversation today, but I will take a few minutes right now. If there's someone of you who does have a question that you feel is very important to share to the group, or you need for clarification, or you've got a special request, we'll take just 2 or 3 minutes, *5, post your call, join in, ask a question, because I don't want to block our community from anyone who really has an important question or sharing to make. And I'm scanning the calls. It takes me a long time to scan through this many people on the call because we do have a lot of people here. But I'm not seeing any question marks appear. So I'll wait another 20 seconds while I'm taking a drink of water. And if no one shows up, then I'll just begin my presentation. Okay, we do have someone from, we have Tom in Chicago. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Glenda.
And how are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing great.
We have a beautiful day here in Chicago, which is known as a very cold place, and it's 85 degrees and sunny, so there.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I'm really just calling to say hello and to remind you, it used to be *5, and that's what you mentioned, I think, just now, but it needs to be 5-star.
It does need to be 5-star. Yes,
oh,
I'm sorry, and thank you for correcting that.
That's quite all right. I just wanted to say everything's really going terrifically. My health, I'm healing well, and every day is a wonderful new adventure, and I'm just thanking you so much for doing what you're doing, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, I think people would probably just love to hear from you. Have you joined our Blessing Givers group yet?
You know, I just did. As you were talking about it, I've got my laptop in my lap, and I put in my request for joining, so I should be there.
Good. Actually, I want to encourage all the Blessing Givers to go ahead and join and play a little bit with the site, because next Saturday we're having our call, and we're actually going to have our new webmaster on the call so that he can walk us through all the great things you can do with your group site. So, thanks for doing that, Tom. And we have another call from area code 918. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth from California, and I just wanted to get on the call for just a second. Today is a very special day. It's my 39th birthday, and I'm actually in Death Valley. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do the blessing, but through a miracle, I found a place that had cell service. So at exactly the right time that the blessing is happening. So, and this is a very special blessing to me because I'm really trying to make a really big shift in my life that I've spent my whole life kind of in darkness, it feels like, and I'm ready to really make a big shift. And so today is very important to me. It's just really symbolic that I really want to make a shift. And I just feel like it's a miracle that I was able to find cell service on this special day. So I just want to say.
Absolutely. Well, Elizabeth, that you will hold you in our heart, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful, joyous, happy birthday for you. And I think you're in a wonderful place, Death Valley, for releasing all the darkness that has been in your past so that you can look up to the sky and embrace all the light that's coming your way. So I'm hoping to get on to my message because it's a beautiful birthday message for you. I'll quickly open up the line for two more people. And I won't have time for my message if I take any more calls than that. But we have someone from area code 719. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. This
Hi.
Is Judy from Colorado. And my question is, what do you consider to be the thing that we do most that blocks the blessings from coming to us? Because I know that they're available and they're being offered, but what do we do to prevent them from...
That is exactly what my talk is going to be about.
Yay! Good, good.
And
okay, we'll wait for
one
time.
One phrase, and that is we have too small a definition of love.
Oh, my goodness. That is
okay? So thank you for that, and that's a real good lead-in to our message today. And I will take this other call very, very quickly, but then I have to get on to the message or I won't have time to say it. You're on from area code 336.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Great.
I have a quick question about the movie that you had talked about maybe three or four calls ago, the movie Jesus.
Yes.
I wanted to find out if I had the right one. The star is Jeremy Sisto.
Exactly. It was a TV series.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got
a TV miniseries with Jeremy Sisto. I think it was
Great.
Done around 1999.
Right. Okay. Great.
You got
All right.
it.
I look forward to watching. I got it.
Oh, wonderful. I think it really make a difference, and I'll take this opportunity again to encourage anyone else to watch it for the very simple reason that, of course, the story of Yeshua's life is the most famous story on earth. It's been told many, many times, and there are slight variations on it. And in this, there's a little bit of Hollywoodism, which there always is. But the beauty of this presentation is it is the first and really the only I have ever seen that dares to actually portray his personality and to show him as a real person, not with the feet of clay derogations that The Last Temptation of Christ did, which were just creations by, I would say, the agnostic side of Hollywood, and far, far, far from reality. But this is really in keeping with the divine and special reality of who he is, and yet very human. And it helps us to create a more personal relationship with him, which is why I highly recommend that you watch it. So with that being said, I now have about 12 minutes to make a very important message. And it's really about what is the power that restores us. We're told that the Holy Spirit is the power that restores us. And so many, many people come to me and ask me, Glenda, what really is the Holy Spirit? If we're all part of the one Spirit and everything is Spirit, then what is the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm speculating on this, but I would say that the Holy Spirit is really the largest definition of love that brings the will of God into our life. And most of the time we block the miracle of the Holy Spirit coming into our life because we have very, very small definitions of love. For most of us, love is about more like liking. It's more like these positive emotional feelings we have. It can even be directed toward possessive attachment. Love can often be something that we possess, we want. Or it can be admiration, like the admiration we have for people, and we say, oh, I just love that person. I love what he or she does, or I love this book. And the admiration is absolutely genuine. But at the same time, we are defining what love is. And as I open this story, I want to read you something from Love Without End. It's from the whole chapter of the Beloved. And I would highly recommend to all of you who are now into multi-events of receiving Yeshua's blessings to reread chapter 15 in Love Without End, because the Beloved expands upon the definition of love to where we not only realize that the love that we are is so much bigger than any identity we've ever created. The love of God is so much bigger than even the greatest prayers we pray. I think sometimes our prayers are just too small. Sometimes we pray for redecorating our home when God wants to redecorate our life. You see what I mean? We pray for the understanding to a little problem when God wants us to lift us up to a level above which the problem couldn't exist in the first place. So often our prayers are just so small that now I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray. Pray the prayer of your heart. But this is why I encourage you to dare to pray the prayers of your heart. Pray to unfold the whole largesse of your heart. Dare to pray bigger. Yes, pray for the things you want and need and all of the things you're seeking. But you might even end your prayer by saying, all this and more. By the love of God, I pray that you bring me, because we do often pray too small. And so I want to read you this passage. It's one of the most beautiful passages in all of Love Without End. And it really is on I've made selections between page 405 and 409 that I rearranged a little bit just to condense and bring out the special morsels that I think apply to our blessing today. But you could read the whole passage and you'd catch them all. The realization of love restored can come in a thousand ways. A peaceful heart, a dance step in your walk, a child's kiss, or a glistening spring morning. What it universally means is that the love of God is present. If love appears to vanish for a while, don't worry. It only seems that way, so that you will seek it again. Love is a mystery, the greatest mystery of the universe. Love is your true self, which springs forth from God, the indefinable, everlasting fountain of existence. There is no explaining what or who will ignite the fire of love within you. The love cannot be forced. The absence of love must be accepted with equal grace and humility, for it is also part of God's unfolding. And I'm going to make an interjection right here in the middle of this quote, that sometimes we really pray and struggle to resolve a situation because there's someone in our life we so want to love, we so want them to love us, we so want to work together. And we know there's love there, and we can't figure out how to make that connection, how to gain that understanding. And this is what Yeshua continues to tell us about that. Many conflicts could have been averted by a mutual understanding that the absence of love only means the time to work together is not yet at hand, or perhaps it may have passed. Instead, bless each other in your different pursuits, for when love is not present, it should be accepted with humility and release. You cannot make someone love you. Love is a mystery in all its ways. You cannot define love with even the largest definition, for your understanding is not external to it, because love is who you are. You will never fully comprehend its mysteries, because love is who God is. Love is the divine mystery. Love cannot be controlled. It cannot be predicted. It cannot be enforced. It cannot be enslaved. It cannot be killed. It cannot be defined. If you would speak of the depth, the power, and the infinite genius of love, think upon its ability to end all duality. Love has no opposites. It cannot be captured, yet it willingly serves. It is infinitely free, and yet it abides in captivity. It cannot be enforced, and yet it is the basis of all law. It is the bringer of truth, and yet it never judges. It is the seer of all things, and yet it never condemns. It conquers by surrendering. It rules by lifting up. Through its mastery of paradox, love ends all duality. The truest way to know your love is not by reflecting on it or trying to determine it or define it, but by the joy you feel in being yourself. That joy is the soul's pleasure in the presence of love incarnate. Whatever you experience as joy is the cup of your love overflowing. By your joy you shall know your love and the nature of your soul as it casts your love upon the waters of life. Now I want to tell you very quickly a story that really talks about the paradox of love. And it leads me, it's a sweet, lovely story I know you will adore. I've often wondered about how to apply the teaching of Yeshua that instead of using insecticides and harmful chemicals to keep insects out of your house, you could just love them to another place. But I always had a problem because when I started loving the insects, it just attracted them into the house. And I couldn't use love to get rid of them. It was kind of like sticky, gooey taffy. The more you pulled it, the more you got stuck in it. And I couldn't figure out, there's got to be a paradox here. And finally, that paradox was revealed to me in this most wonderful, wonderful story that happened to me. And part of what was revealed is that love is its own force. Love is its own intelligence. Love knows what it wants and needs, and doesn't require our manipulation. It doesn't want our manipulation. It only wants our consent. And it only wants to know the secrets of our heart so that it can direct the secrets of our heart to a greater good. And I want to preface that with another quote from Khalil Gibran. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should say not, God is in my heart, but rather I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. And so I've learned that by regarding love as a power unto itself, and this is why I think it probably is the Holy Spirit in the largest definition, because I found love to have its own wisdom, its own intelligence, its own presence in our life. And here comes the story. I was out painting one day. Well, actually, years ago, when I was painting angels, primarily angels, I had to start every painting outside because I couldn't conceive of painting an angel within the structure of a building. So I painted outside. And one day while I was painting, I looked down on my arm and I saw this tiny moving speck. And I thought at first it was a flea, but I have very good eyes for detail, and I looked closer, and it was a little fly. And I thought, you are absolutely amazing. Every detail of an adult fly was there at the size of a speck. And I said hello to the fly, and the fly flapped his wings, and I thought he was going to fly away, but he didn't. He flapped his wings. And so I just decided to invite him to watch me paint. As he watched me paint, I decided to have fun with him. And I decided to see if he and I could communicate. So every time he would flap his wings, I would put a brushstroke on the painting. If he didn't flap his wings, I would not put a brushstroke on the painting. So he flapped his wings, I would put a brushstroke. And pretty soon he was flapping his wings so much, I was just painting like crazy to keep up with him flapping his wings. And I realized he had gotten the concept, and through me, he was painting that painting by flapping his wings. And I thought, this is fun. I'm going to play with him. I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm going to just put my hand down, and I'm not going to paint at all and see what he'll do. Well, he kept flapping his wings, and I didn't paint. And it seemed like I was feeling this little bit of an exasperated energy. So finally, he flew off my arm, and he flew right between my eyes about 2 inches out, which indicated to me he knew exactly where my eyes were, and just like he could see, I could see, and there in front of my eyes, he flapped his wings. Talk about being adamant. He was telling me, hey, let's paint. I'm flapping my wings. And I thought, this is so much fun. I'm going to not paint, and I'm going to see what he'll do. Well, he went down, and he landed on my paintbrush, well, on the ferrule, the metal part just above the brush. And he landed on my paintbrush and flapped his wings. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to paint. This is so adorable. He's actually wanting to paint that painting. And so I picked up the brush, and he stayed on the brush with me painting for maybe a couple of minutes. Then he flew off into the wild blue yonder, never to be seen again. And I kind of got this thought, because I don't know if flies return to their family or have a family sense once they're hatched and into their own life, but I got this cute little thought, like, he went out as if to say, hey, Mom, guess what? I've trained a human. And at the same time, I was thinking, I've trained a fly. And then I got it. Love had trained us both. I hadn't trained a fly. The fly hadn't trained me. We had both been trained and entrained by the language of love. From that point on, it was an interesting phenomenon that started happening. If I saw flies inside the house, all I had to do was tell love what I needed, not the fly, and then hold my finger out, and a fly would come and land on my finger, and I would escort him out the house. And I even tried it with scorpions. Scorpions are really, really bad about having a mind of their own. And they like, it's sort of their dharma, like their nature of being, that they sting. And they sting, especially when they're frightened. And so instead of holding my finger out, I would hold out a sheet of white paper. And I would tell love what I wanted. And the scorpion would climb up on the sheet of white paper, and I would escort him outside. So this has been my discovery, and that is that we underdefine love by trying to manipulate it, or by trying to impose our limitations on it, or our viewpoint on it. Now, true, love is ultimately who we are, and in the name of love, in the spirit of love, we were created in the image of God. However, it's so much bigger than any identity we hold that we often don't communicate simply to the love that we are or from the love that we are. And this refers back to the passage that I quoted to you from The Beloved, where sometimes we are in the presence of difficult situations or difficult people, and perhaps in a story context or from one identity to another, there won't be any resolution of that. But by communicating with love itself, we are redeemed from that situation. I'll tell you very quickly something. I know we're running a little past our time, but I think this will only take 1 minute. There was a great spiritual leader, Jack Schwartz. He's written 4 books. You could Google him and bring up his works. But I believe he was Dutch. Anyway, I know he was European, and he was captured by the Nazis, brutally, brutally tortured and beaten by this Nazi captor. This was during World War II. And in the middle of the beating, he just disengaged from the small identity of who he was. He entered the love that he was, and he loved his torturer, the man who was beating him. And he truly felt it, not in the sense of loving the man because he was beating him, but loving the being who was greater than the enemy. And the enemy stopped. He couldn't beat him anymore. He couldn't harass him anymore. And I really believe this is what Yeshua was trying to teach us when he said, love your enemy. He wasn't telling us to love their behavior. He wasn't telling us to force ourselves upon the enemy to have the same agreements. And see, we're encountering these issues in the world. We're encountering many, many cultures that have maybe even violent disagreements with us. And we may not be able to resolve those disagreements at the level of conflict. But above all of that level of conflict, when we address the language of love, love has the answer. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. Remember that. And when you pray the prayers of your heart, pray for the love that you are, for the greatest definition of all that can be brought forth for what you were praying for. A new life, a new better opportunity, a new better place to live. Allow love to define all of your desires in the highest and the best way for the highest and best result that love can bring. And that was my message for today. Because I think that's the real answer to our true restoration. Now, if you will just remove your shoes and socks, be seated, your feet upon the ground. I'll make the introductions brief today because we do need to move on. I like to have you sitting in a chair if possible, because we use the flow of gravity moving vertically through your body to carry these very subtle energy waves. But if you're not up to that, then just be lying in a comfortable position for you. And if you will drop your attention into your heart, allow your mind to just sit on the park bench, because according to what has been said in this message, your mind simply can't describe or circumscribe how big love truly is. Your mind is a good servant. It can't guide you to the higher places of the soul. So let it take a break as if you were in sleep and just be here. Allow your attention to fall into your heart, and don't hold yourself back from praying your greatest, your truest, your most daring prayer. For love, there are no impossibilities. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being here with all of us in your special omnipresent way, in your omni knowledge of love and all that it can do, all that is possible for love. Thank you for sending the presence of the Holy Spirit through us and opening the gateways of us to receive in a broader and more expansive way newer and greater possibilities and opportunities for us, that we may know that love has its own intelligence. Love has its own way of unfolding, of bringing all the desires of our heart, but often in greater ways than we could ever even expect or define. Thank you for being here with all of our healing issues, all of our relationship issues, and helping us to feel comfortable with the unknown. For the unknown is always present, no matter what. But if we know that the unknown is filled with love, we can be comfortable in its presence. Thank you for bringing a bright new future to us and allowing us to release and resolve all of the darkness from the past or any resentments that may still be there, for they serve no purpose to the greater measure of love. As we release all of these things that have held us back, we are made new. Amen. Your blessing conveyance is complete. Now go and rest and assimilate for at least 7 minutes. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.